Free Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio. Radio.
Is about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio on News Talk 1400 KQMS. It's Carl and Linda Bott. 221-1402. If you have a few problems hearing us in different parts of the city, switch over to 1670 AM. You can hear us better. Our toll-free line is 1-800-521-1989. For those who can go to KQMS website, we are streaming live. And speaking of streaming live, here's the producer, Frosty.
Good morning. How are you guys doing this
morning?
That's
fine. You know, so we're talking about the one thing I've ever grown in my life was a squash, and then you and Ryan were talking about the things that you were growing, and I didn't want to hear about it.
Tomatoes.
That's what it was. And speaking of a hot tomato, my bride, Linda.
I'll take that. We're going to, right out of the chute today, we're going to get on to something that's very interesting. I'm sure many of you listeners are going to want to be involved with. Our guest this morning is Cheryl Thurman. She is married to the head PGA golf pro out at Riverview Golf and Country Club, Kim Thurman. Many of you probably have known him. He's been there for years. Very well-liked man. And she, Cheryl, is conducting a Patriot Golf Day at Riverview. And good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning. How are you?
We're good.
She is a hot tomato, by the way.
Jeez. I'm complimented. Tell us all about. Let's have a little backstory and how this came to you.
The backstory is 3 years ago, the PGA got on board with Dan Rooney, an F-16 Air National Guard pilot, who started this foundation, Folds of Honor. He's also a PGA member, and he decided that he really wanted to do something for the service people who are either maimed or deceased in Iraq and Afghanistan. And he had a very personal experience where he saw a coffin being taken off an airplane, and he saw the family and he saw the small children. He said, man, we need to do something for the families. So he started a foundation. It's for educational scholarships, for post-secondary scholarships. And he enlisted all of his PGA colleagues across the nation to use Labor Day weekend for Patriot Golf Day. This is the third year. The first 2 years, they've raised over $3 million. Wow. They've given out almost 570 scholarships. They've set up an endowment fund. They have 529 scholarship funds set up for the younger children.
Great.
And I got started because my husband said, Cheryl, do something. And so we kind of started right at Riverview. And last year then, the second year, we enlisted all 13 of the North State area golf courses to participate in collecting donations in any way, from putting a jar on a counter to collecting donations to raffles.
When we come back, we're going to get right back to Cheryl and ask just a few more questions on what we can do here in the North State for people who don't really know about what's going on here. And this is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. It's Carl and Linda Bott.
We're talking about Patriot Golf Day here with Cheryl Thurman, who is married to Kim Thurman, who's the head PGA golf pro. We're trying to get out some news to you that through the – Give us the deaths.
Right. Through the Labor Day weekend this year, and it is the 4th through the 7th, all golf facilities across the nation, or as many, at least 4,000 this year, and about 22 in the North State area, are going to be asking their golfers to help donate. And basically what it is you tell your spouse, this is my free pass to go golf because I'm going to golf for a worthy cause. And hopefully you'll get to golf all weekend.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, you'll come back and remind us all because you know how time flies. Before you know it, will be September 4th, and this this event goes from the 4th to the 7th. Correct.
Correct.
And so it's a week from this weekend.
You got it.
Okay. Hey, Cheryl, thank you so much for what you're doing for our community and for our veterans' families. Thank you.
There's somebody else who's on the phone who's got something very interesting to share with us. Good morning.
Tanya, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for allowing me to be on your show. I'm going to make this as brief as possible. I'm doing volunteer work in the medical field in a coastal town in Mexico by the name of Melaque, spelled M-E-L-A-Q-U-E. It has a population of about 6,000 people. It's a small, quiet, sort of tourist town with a lot of poverty. And there are no docks there. There are waves that crash right near the beach. Now, there's no fishing poles that I have seen so far at all whatsoever. The people who fish, they're so poor, they either use tin cans or pieces of PVC pipe. They wrap the line around that and then extend it out a few feet from that. They tie a nut, you know, type of lug nut type of, with, you know, just regular.
Yeah, they're using, they do not have fishing poles. This is, but they're having to use this to feed their family.
And then at the end of the nut, they have a string that attaches where they have three or four hooks on it, and they fish with these little teeny crab for bait. So they swing these, the nut around, if you can picture this, like a lasso, and they throw it out in the ocean, and they're kind of standing there too, so the waves kind of crash into them, and they catch these rather small fish. And then they have to reel them in on, it's very technical, on these cans. So my purpose in this call is I would like to recruit some fishing poles to help these people be able to fish and cast out further. Now, the poles need to be minimum of 6.5 feet.
You want surf casting poles?
Not, they don't necessarily.
But they have to be at least 6.5 feet.
Yeah.
And heavy enough to throw out there.
Right,
okay.
That's all. And they don't have to be surf casting fish.
Right.
But whatever anybody might want to donate, it could even just be a reel. I went and looked in the stores in the nearby city, and they didn't even have any fishing poles. They only had one.
Yeah. So how do people get a hold of you, Tanya?
Okay, I'm staying with Marge Hall, and she was the president of NAMI for years, so many people know her. So if you, the number is
221-3163. And this is for people that have those extra fishing poles that you're going to take down at your own expense down to Mexico.
Right.
To give these villagers. And I think that there's probably people have got extra fishing poles or reels or types of fishing equipment hanging around that they could just help out with. And your number again is
221-3163.
All right.
3163.
You know, Tanya, believe me, the people down there are such lovely, sweet people. That's why I go down there.
Yeah.
And they're very humble and very, very in need to feed their families. The fish is wonderful down there.
Yeah. Well, hey, Tanya.
Well, thank you, Tanya.
Thank you so much for what you're doing.
Thank you.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, we're going to take a quick break here, and we come back. Our guests are Dick Dickerson, and we have some people on the phone line that we want to talk to. And we may actually get a call from that nationally known right-wing terrorist that hit the news with Wally Herger. He's on his motorcycle right now, but he says he's going to call in. Well, we'll see what happens on that. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here with Carl and Linda Bott on News Talk 1400 KQMS. You know what? We have Dick Dickerson in the studio, but first, before we can get to our city councilman, we have that nationally known right-wing terrorist on the phone. Bert, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Linda.
Wow, you were all over the news yesterday and last night.
Oh, my God, I can't believe this. You know what? It's like I said on the news last night, our country's in bankruptcy. We have more debt than we're going to be able to pay off in 92 years.
Two wars.
And, And we've got a leader of the country that wants to be the biggest owner of all businesses in America. And they're worried about me?
Well, you know, and this is Bert Stead we have on here. And Bert may have misspoke when he used a word there. But here's the thing is I've known Bert for the 2 years that I've lived here. And I tell you what, he's a gentle man. Not just a gentleman, but a gentle man who does lots of work to help the homeless, to help the veterans. He helps out, you know, feeding, providing food for the veterans. He made the honor ride back to Washington, D.C. to pay an honor to our Missing in America Project veterans. And he does so much for our city and then in our community. And then to see it hit like this, it just made you sound a little bit right of Attila the Hun.
I'm on the radio right now. Who's on?
Yeah, you're on. In fact, you're talking right now on it.
Oh,
tell your friends to leave you alone right now. We need you.
Exactly. That's why I told him that. As you know, Carl, in the passion of the moment at the town hall meeting the other night, I used the word terrorist instead of extremist. But you know what? It's easy to do that because Obama's the security, what do you call it? The
Neapolitano.
Yeah. Said that our returning veterans are potential terrorists because they're targets for terrorist organizations. You know, nobody said anything about that. That's an absolute insult to any of our veterans that are coming home from conflicts. And they had the audacity to make that statement. And then when I slip of the tongue, they pick this up and they just rip on it.
Well, what happened is that the Mount Shasta paper did an article and they got forwarded to the Drudge Report. And once it hits the Drudge Report, that's what happened. And, the bottom line on it is that everybody needs to take a deep breath. And, you know, your tongue was in your cheek. You know, we've done shows about the Neapolitano and the Homeland Security memo because there was anybody that was, you know, they had named a bunch of potential terrorists, could be anybody that's pro-choice, pro-life, Second Amendment, Christians, and all these. And so, it's a type of thing that it's time to, you know, take a deep breath, let's take a step back, and try not to just blow this thing so far more out of proportion.
Well, that's why I wanted to make the, you know, set the record straight, because first of all, we've got a congressman up here in the North State that represents us, I think, pretty darn well, and he's getting ripped because of my mistake, too. And so I wanted to go public on this and just let people know what happened and what I said and what I really intended to say, which was to use Barack's own terminology describing those of us that disagree with him as a right-wing extremist. And in the passion of the moment, it came out right-wing terrorist, you know. So
well,
I
you know,
just
now,
put the record straight so that Wally... And I think probably when Wally heard what I said, he probably heard what he thought he heard, which was right-wing extremist, because he's on top of these things, too.
Well, I don't know. But, you know, the bottom line is that I just wanted people to know that, you know, who Bert was and that, you know, he's not somebody... It carries around Uzis on the back of his motorcycle, and as far as I know, you may be a conservative, but there's a big difference between being a conservative and an extremist. And I don't even see that in even being an extremist was to me that tongue in the cheek too with you, Bert.
Well, absolutely. You know, I mean, I am very definitely outspoken when it comes to my political views, and yeah. Anybody that knows me will know that.
But you remain a gentleman. You always remained a gentleman as you speak your mind. And that's I just have to say that out loud.
Well, thank you, Linda.
Yeah. Okay, Bert, I know you're on your way to meet somebody, so we'll let you go.
Well, before I hang up, let me just tell you that I'm calling you from Castle Craigs, and actually KQMS on 1670 comes in up here.
Great. Yeah, you know, in fact, we can go all the way up past Trinity Center. We've been all the way up to Cedarville, one of the most beautiful areas in the world.
Yep.
Okay, hey, Bert, thanks a lot. And hey. let's hope you go back to being just Bert.
Yeah, me too.
All right, thanks a lot.
We'll start calling you B.
Thanks.
Know our friend B.
Take care.
All right, thanks,
Take
Bert.
Take care, you guys.
You bet. Ken, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Carl, Linda, Dick.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Kenneth, the owner-builder here. Hey, you know, on my show, I never got political, but your show is fair game, buddy. Hey, you know, Bert, I want to thank Bert. Because I saw the footage, and you know the liberals, they want us to concentrate on the word terrorist, but I'm not going to concentrate on the word terrorist. I'm going to concentrate on the message that Bert sent. That's what I'm going to concentrate on.
Well, I think that there's a lot of people sending that message out, is that, you know, they want these bills to be read. They want the government to keep their hands off things that we, you know, I'm not saying the health care in this country is perfect. It's not. You know, and there needs to be changes in it. But if people are happy with their health care, keep your hands off it, government. And the idea that everybody has to have health insurance, I'm not even sure if that's constitutionally supportable. How can I force Frosty to get health care?
How can you get Frosty to shave? Well, hey, is Mr. Dickinson, is he on?
He's on. He's ready to go.
Hey, Dick, did you get your prize?
I did, and I've used it several times, and I'll let you explain if you want to the listeners what we're talking about.
No, let's not do that. I want to get back to the show. Great show, Carl and Linda. I'll listen on air.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, now we've got 30 seconds, and we have on the phone lines another caller, but we're going to be getting to him right after the break. He's been holding on. He wants to talk about the movement to get people down to Sacramento on Friday. For this huge protest in Sacramento, says, you know, enough of this with running us into the ground and a number of other things. We'll get to him, but also, of course, our guest, Dick Dickerson, so we can have him on, because there's a number of things that Dick wants to talk about, and then there's some questions we also have, too. So this is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Dick, good morning, and thanks for waiting.
Good morning to you.
It's been one of those days, and we're going to be getting to the phones here in a minute, but you've come in for a specific reason.
Yes, I want to make sure that everyone knows about an event that's going to be held this coming Monday evening at 6 o'clock at the Reading City Council Chambers. We're going to be holding a council-sponsored forum on the efforts that are being made on a statewide basis to attack the governance of the state of California. We believe that that system is broken, and we believe that the only way it's going to be fixed is from the grassroots up. So this forum is an effort to engage everyone who would like to be part of that system in getting involved and helping us out. We want to hear from as many of you who have the time and the interest to attend to come down and vent to us, talk about how you think we can put methods into effect that will make California government run more for the people and less for the political parties.
Now, is this something that the city council is backing, or is this is a separate entity, right?
No, this is a forum that the city council took formal action to participate in this effort. It will be agendized as a city council meeting.
Okay, and, it's funny. You're saying that the California government is broken, which, of course, it is. And the gent we have on the phone, good morning, LaRue.
Good morning. How are you, Carl, Linda?
Did you just hear what Dick Dickerson said?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You'll be there, won't you, LaRue?
it's going to be interesting on the 28th, that's for sure.
Now, you want to talk about something that's happening where there's thousands of Californians heading down to Sacramento to let Sacramento politicians know that there's some unhappiness out in the hinterlands, aren't you?
I believe it'll probably make history because of the amount of people that will be showing up in Sacramento on the 28th. It's our eco march to Sacramento to talk about AB 32 and basically the state's idea of cap and trade or cap and tax. Not only are we being taxed nationally to death, but we're also being taxed statewide to death. And so we have about 150 people coming from Reading down to the state capitol, probably even more than that now, joining all the other key party groups to converge on the Capitol on the 28th.
Now, when you get down there, what do you expect to happen?
Well, hopefully it'll be very peaceful. I want it to be peaceful. But there'll be protesting at the Capitol building regarding the taxation, the AB 32 program, and then also there'll be other issues. I'm sure healthcare will be part of it, but the main focus is AB 32.
AB 32, what's that do?
Well, basically it's saying to all the people in California as far as the, for example, the trucking industry being affected because they have to retrofit all their trucks, like the diesel trucks and that are perfectly good trucks running on the roads to fit the standards for the state as far as basically being eco-friendly. Everything has to be changed over, retrofitting your house, you know, all this stuff to be able to sell your house properly.
Yeah,
it's all good stuff, but it's just people can't afford it in a declining economy.
What I understand, it's going to take small businesses right off the road because they're talking $50,000-$60,000 per truck.
Exactly, it's going to destroy the small business trucking owner.
Yeah, well, you know what? Just when we're having all the biggest economic downturn since the Great Depression, and then California even being worse off. Let's just keep hammering businesses. You know, it's just gotten to the point that I'm so glad that, one, everybody's trying to get together to make themselves, let their voices be heard, but also our city council has gotten together and said that we need to fix government. And how can
exactly.
we do it?
Exactly. The other thing, too, is there's going to be farmers and ranchers coming from the southern part of the state where the agriculture is huge. And they're being put out of business because of a 3-inch smelt that's not even indigenous to California. It's called the Delta Smelt.
Yeah.
And these ranchers and farmers are coming up to say, hey, they're putting little 3-inch fish before our families and our livelihood. And that's ridiculous.
Well, it's going to cost, the cost of food is going to go sky high because they've taken the water away from them. And, you know, I mean, it's just ridiculous. We have extremists running. Our government. And, you know, and the thing is that, you know, I hate to say it, but I don't care if they're left wing or right wing. You have extremists making these decisions and they're making them under committees or czardoms or whatever. And nobody's holding them accountable. All of a sudden it's just done.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, basically, if people want more information about this, they can go to, readingteaparty.com. They can log on and get the information in detail.
Great.
As far as, the destination, driving point. And even a place of safe haven in case something does happen that's not from us, but maybe from the other side, where they can go and get,
Again, we're talking peace. We're talking a peaceful demonstration here, and we do not advocate anything but a peaceful demonstration.
No, exactly. Hey, LaRue?
Dick's got a question for you.
I don't have a question. I have a request for you. LaRue, would it be possible for you to attend the city council function on Monday and give us a report on what takes place down there on Friday?
What time is the city council meeting?
It's going to be 6 o'clock, and we'll go however long it takes.
Okay, Monday is when, unfortunately, I will have somebody probably go there to talk, but that's when we have our meeting for the Reading Tea Party. We'll be probably having a crowd of about, I'd say, 300 to 400 people on Monday at Holiday Inn.
Okay, if you can't make it personally, if you could send a representative just to fill whoever might be interested in coming to our event as to what happened.
Absolutely. Also, I want to mention, too, real quick, we have Chuck DeVore, after his first engagement on Monday, will be coming over to our group and talking about what's going on in the assembly for the state. And, oh, by the way, he is running against Barbara Boxer. And so, but we're a nonpartisan group, and he's going to be coming to talk about the issues in the state. And what's going on.
And that's going to be Monday at 5:30 at the Holiday Inn, right?
5:30, but he'll be coming over a little bit later because we have an engagement right around that time somewhere else.
Okay. Hey, LaRue, thanks a lot. And people can meet up with you at 7 o'clock, and you all head down Friday.
A lot of us are going down Thursday just because there's going to be so much traffic going down there that people are going to have to park in Yuba City and walk to Sacramento because of this event.
Yeah. Okay. All right, LaRue, thank you so much, and we'll get an update from you on Monday.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Dick, let's talk. We talked about what's happening in Monday. Let's talk about a couple other things here.
Could I just?
Sure.
One more point on this. It's not only the Reading City Council who is participating in this. The Shasta Lake City Council and the City Council of Anderson have also taken formal action. They will be holding forums on their schedule, and I'm sure the people will be informed of when and where those will take place. The county of Shasta has not quite formally adopted this yet, but they're going to. So it's not just Redding, it's the entire...
Sometimes the county of Shasta is lags behind.
Well, that was going to be my question, so I'm glad you answered it, because I was wondering, as you're saying that we've taken formal action to begin this, start this forum where you can come and talk about how you want to change government. I don't know. In your professional career and your personal life, have you ever seen such unrest happening in our country and in our state and in our city?
I have not, and there's good reason for it, and those reasons are... wide and varied of why we're in the condition that we're in now.
Yeah.
And we want to address why California is in the condition it's in now, outside of the economic downturn that's affected everything.
Well, you know, and there's room. I mean, this change needs to start with our local government and work up. Start from the city, county, state. I mean, well, it's everyone. That's what it, I think that's what you're talking about, right? It's not just the state government.
Well, it is, but the idea of the forms and the idea that California can only be restructured from the ground up came as a result of a meeting of about 500 locally elected officials that took place in July in Sacramento, where the idea of a grassroots change originated.
Okay.
We're going to take a quick break here. It's Carl and Linda Bott. We'll take your calls when we get back. Our guest is Dick Dickerson. You're listening to KQMS.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS with Carl and Linda Bott. Our guest today is Dick Dickerson. Hey, who is on our city council. The people that, I think everybody knows that because Dick's been here forever. Dick, the budget. What's your solution? We are in trouble.
Well, we are definitely in trouble for a variety of reasons. The declining economy being the chief reason, but also... The fact that the state of California, as we discussed earlier, is out of control and are reaching down into the local coffers and taking money. So that's just another reason why we need to get together and try to change it.
Yeah, they're disgusting.
Yeah, but the solution for our budget problems is simply this, that everyone is going to have to be involved in that solution. The labor unions are going to have to give some. We're going to probably have to do some more furlough time. There's going to be, I'm convinced there'll be some positions lost in the city simply because of the facts. There's just no way of getting around it. The staff has been requested to propose 10% budget reductions in each of their departments to the city manager. We're not going to have to cut 10%, but there'll be an area there where they can work with that solution.
Well, we got an email from one of our listeners, one of the hundreds and hundreds we get here every day, that says that in Sacramento they worked the government there, that their daughter works there, and they are taking furloughs once a week in some time. You know, in some cases, I know that the Department of Fish and Game is up to four times a month to be able to try and save money and save positions.
Well, that may have to happen here. Currently, we have some department heads and others that are on one day a month furloughs. That may have to expand. Some of the difficulties with your general employees and furloughs have to do, once again, with the union contract. So it's not as easy as throwing the switch and making it happen.
Well, you know, we're all in this together, and not all government workers are making $100,000 a year. Everybody knows that. You've got a number of them that are working for a lot less than that. However, there are the cost of medical and all those that we're in trouble. I mean, and I realize the union's there to look after their people, but we're all in trouble here.
Let's take a caller. Tom. Good morning, Tom.
Well, hey, I'm getting on this morning. Hey, I'm glad you had that. Was it Bert was his name?
Bert.
Yeah, I'm glad you had him on there, and I think the record searchlight ought to... say something about this tomorrow to clarify it, and Chris Matthews, and if they don't...
Well, the record searchlight...
Get it to O'Reilly.
In the defense of the record searchlight, they did. They had an editorial today that says, hey, people, take a deep breath, take a step back. You know, so.
Well, I haven't read the paper yet, but I kind of know what this guy's going through, because, you know, one time I got in an argument with the editor, and I kind of used tongue-in-cheek a lot, too, and the supervisor up in Trinity County that's so pro-marijuana is pathetic. I said he deserved an award from NORML, which is the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, and a hemp rope hanging from the rest of us, and he called the sheriff on me.
Well, so what's your comment today, Tom?
I put an apology, but then I kind of made him look like a fool he was. But, hey, on the budget, one thing California has got to do, and that's repeal that generous pension thing for health and safety workers where 3% after 55 times whatever years you work. That's got to go back down.
You know, that's
it's got to go retroactively. It's got to include people today. The unions are going to have to hedge on that one.
Well, you know what? You know, I don't know if you can take things away from people that have already got it, but I tell you what, that has got to change. I don't understand how you can get 90% or more after 30 years when you've got the military. I'm just using military as an example. After 30 years, they're at 75%. I mean, we've got thousands of people in the state of California that are on pensions or retirement things of over $200,000.
Well,
no.
Hey, Tom. 10 years ago that it changed, and I mean, it's going to break us.
Yeah. Hey, Tom, we got to take a break here.
All right.
Thanks a lot for calling. Have a safe trip. Okay, we've got a caller on. We'll get to you, Anthony, right after we take this break. This is Carl and the Bot on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Anthony, you're on Free Fire Radio.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
This is the first time I've ever called in. I'm kind of nervous. So.
Don't be. We've got enough nervous on this end.
We're having coffee here and just pretend that we're just hanging out.
All right. I just wanted to make a comment about what Bert said. I was there at the town hall meeting. I was deeply appalled by what Nancy Pelosi and the rest of her gang said about the Army veterans coming back from Iraq. I served over in Iraq. So when I heard that, it really hurt. And when she said we're a bunch of terrorists, you know, but nobody wants to say, you know, hey, you're wrong. You can't say that. And when Bert said that, I said, yes, thank you so much. Thank you.
Well, you know, we've had, I also served. And by the way, thank you for your service, Anthony.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for your service.
Well, you're a hero. And I tell you what, but yeah, to see that come out from our government saying that, you know, we're potential terrorists and all these other things was kind of like a slap in the face.
Right. It was a slap in the face. And I understand what you're saying. We all need to take a step back.
Yeah.
And I agree with that. But are the Democrats willing to take a step back?
Well, obviously not, because they went right down the row because they got, obviously, the messages from the national headquarters, because they all put out the same word that, that Wally Herger needs to apologize because of this terrorist. And you know what? No, you don't.
No.
It's taken out of context, whole thing. And, you know, everybody needs to take a look at what's going on and get, you know, take a step back.
Right.
There's
exactly.
There's a lot of things going on, and sometimes on both ends, the spectrum around the world is that sometimes words fall from the mouth that aren't exactly the intended words, and that's why we have to take that breath and go, okay.
Right.
I mean, is it really that hardcore? Is it that meaning that really came from you?
Well, you know, and then you've got the congressman out of, I don't know where it was, that called the people that questioned the health care plan, he called them terrorists. And so, you know, nobody says anything about that.
Right.
Anthony, thank you so much for your call, and you call again.
All right. Thank you very much.
You bet. Bruce, you have a question for the city councilman.
I've got a question for Dick. Good morning, Colonel Linda. The question for Dick is,
sure,
would they entertain raising this retirement mandatory age up to at least like the state of Oregon did? They went up to 64, which plugged up that 30-plus that they had up there that was breaking them. I think they ought to have it at least to that, and that would really, really, really plug off a lot of money being spent for these people retiring at 52.
We are looking at absolutely everything in regards to employee compensation. The difficulty is you can't do it by fiat. You have to negotiate with the union. So it's not something that the city can unilaterally do. But you're right. We have to find ways to reduce the cost of employee compensation. The entire compensation package is what drives the budget. So it has to be done. It's not a quick fix. It's a definite part of the fix, but don't look for it to be quick.
What do you feel like? I mean, your personal view on this early retirement, this getting out of town at 52 at 90, do you think that's really, really a sour grapes?
Do I think it's sour grapes?
Yeah.
No, I think it needs to be adjusted as we go forward. And the city council in labor negotiations with our various unions are looking at a two-tier system. It's extremely difficult, and the law is in the way in terms of the existing contracts that we've entered into. But as we go forward and we hire more people, we can provide a different retirement set of guidelines for them. And it's a long-term solution, but it is part of the solution.
Have you got an age in mind yourself? Retirement age?
Well, I don't know if you want 64, 65-year-old police officers out there on the street or not. That could be problematic.
I think the police officers could be run back around into office duty up to 64. Yeah.
Hey Bruce, we're going to have to break. We're running out of time. But here, you know, one of the things we want to do next week, we want to set up a 2 days. We're going to talk about the budget. We want to bring in city council. We want to bring in our union members too, so we can start. You know, so we can get a full appreciation of what's going on.
Well, you never know who's going to blow in from the wind. Ladies and gentlemen, Ray Roberts just came into the studio, and he's going to be sitting in for us Thursday and Friday. We are going to be going to New Mexico, where we're visiting our beautiful daughter and grandchildren and son-in-law. So, hi, Ray.
Hiya.
I understand you stirred up some stuff last week.
Oh, I've got to get real close to this one?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't stir up something. Somebody else did. A caller
then stirred up. Then why is the stool that I kind of stand next to scorched around there?
Hey,
but
Dick,
that's
thanks.
The way it works.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Dick, thanks for being our guest today, and thanks and for popping in, Ray.
Yeah. And like we said, Dick, we want to have a much more comprehensive thing set up next week, so we can talk more about the budget, because you know that's a target close in. Yes, and then Monday, I recommend you call Ray back on Friday so we can talk about that, and we will push it again Monday.
I'll call him Thursday and Friday.
And well, you know, it may be the only phone calls he gets.
It's called a monologue.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're sorry we didn't get to the rest of the callers here today, but we've had a great time, and thanks so much.
And we will see you all, we will see you all Monday. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?